He's great and greatly to be praised. I'm so glad that some of you made it here on such short notice today. And I know others will be watching after the fact on Facebook Live and listening on the website. Well, God bless you as you prepare for our first major snow event of the year. Some have got their wish answered. Not me, but some have. Well, God bless you as you give your tithes and your offerings this morning, as we worship Him in our giving. Get ready for the word that God has put upon my heart. I don't know, should I move the pulpit down to the middle of the sanctuary, or should some of you move up since we have a reduced crowd this morning? Today is, you get to have a Sabbath rest tomorrow and just to enjoy watching the flakes. Maybe making a snow angel or two. Again, thank you for coming. We're going to be walking through the Psalms today, probably somewhere around 20 different Psalms, but the sermon text is Psalms 145. Starting at verse 8. The Lord is gracious and merciful. Amen. Slow to anger, great in loving kindness. The Lord is good to all, and His mercies are over all His works. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and your godly ones shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom, and talk of your power, to make known to the sons of men your mighty acts, and the glory of the majesty of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord sustains all who fall, and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due time. You open your hand, satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, kind in all his deeds. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He will also hear their cry and will save them. The Lord keeps all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh will bless his holy name forever and ever. Probably, whether in Sunday school or in years gone by, you might remember a song, "He's Got the Whole World in His Hands." I think it's probably one of the more well-known, even by non-Christian circles. It's a song that was sung quite regularly about the world, the wind, the elements, the little babies, you and I, brother, you and I, sister. And there's so much truth contained in those very few verses there in that song. The Holy Spirit began speaking to me about our future, your future, in the coming days. You know, if you look at the, I don't recommend it, but if you watch the news or you read reports of what's going on out there, it's pretty dismal. And I recommend focusing on the Lord and in prayer and reading the Word and the promises of God. But the fact is that nothing escapes the Father's notice. That's what was ringing in my spirit as I remembered that song, "He's Got the Whole World in His Hands." All things are referenced in him. Romans 11, verse 36, "For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen." And he knows the future. You know, no matter what it looks like out there now or tomorrow or the next day, he knows what he has planned for you, for me, for the world. And nothing can prevent it from coming to pass or being fulfilled. And so, you know, sometimes we may get frustrated or disappointed thinking a certain person is short-circuiting our calling or our ministry or the plan of God for our life. But honestly, no demon, no person, nothing can separate you from his plan, which is in Christ Jesus because of his love. I thought I was going to preach out of Jeremiah 29:11, but I'm going to read it anyway, from an expression from the Father's heart saying, "I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope." So no matter what trials, and I know some of you are going through some things, no matter what testing he ordains or plans for you, no matter what things look like or how they seem, Romans 8:31 says, "If God be for us, who is against us?" Or King James, I like, "Who can be against us if God's for us?" And what I... my paraphrase for that would be, who can thwart God's plan and his purposes for your life? Nobody, no thing can do such a thing. And so this morning's message from the Psalms is that your future is in him, or he holds your future. And, you know, it's always interesting to see how things develop. You know, if someone said to me when I was in high school I'd be preaching the gospel, that my friends would have a hearty laugh for sure, because I looked like, and honestly I was, an unlikely candidate to do such a thing. And I had no clue of what God had planned later on in my life. But I should have had a little bit of a clue, because you know how you take those aptitude tests when you're in high school? The number one thing that came up on my aptitude test was preacher, minister. I mean, there were other things that were close, but the number one thing, even on a worldly assessment, that came up, and no one was laughing harder than me at the time. But here I am today before you preaching God's word. So your future is in him, and he holds your future. First thing is, the Lord is good. He is absolutely good. Verses 8 and 9 there in Psalms 145. It says in verse 8, the Lord is gracious and merciful. You know, where would you be? Just think about that question. Where would you be today without him? It wouldn't be a pretty picture, I assure you of that. Psalms 86, verse 5, for thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, abundant in loving kindness to all who call upon thee. It says also in our text, the Lord is good to all, and his mercies are over all his works. Now, whether you accept that goodness, that's up to you, but that's his stance, that he's going to be good to you. Psalms 100, verse 5, for the Lord is good, his loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations. Psalms 119, verse 68, thou art good and doest good. You know, he's the only one that can bring anything good out of your life or out of the circumstances of your life, even your failures and your shortcomings. He's the only one that can make something beautiful or good out of those things. You know, I find that my worst critic is myself. It's very easy to downplay, beat myself up. I could have done better. I should have done this. I should have said this. But God's stance is that I have his favor. He's pleased with me. As long as my heart is clean and clear and I'm just doing what I know to do, yes, we can always do better, but he's pleased with you and I when he looks at us. You know, just like when, you know, those of you who do have children or children in your family, you know, it's like attaboy, attagirl. You know, that's my boy, that's my girl. And that's how the Father looks at you and I. We don't often think of it in those terms, but that's actually the reality of it. So we need to remember that God is good all the time, and he loves you with an everlasting love. You know, things will come against us. We will be disappointed. Things won't always go our way. Absolutely. I've experienced that, and I expect to continue to experience those type of things. But one thing I know, God loves me with an everlasting love. No one is going to convince me otherwise. And God is absolutely good, 100% of the time. Secondly, it says there for us, and these five things are not exclusive. There are other things also in the text. But in verse 14, it says, the Lord sustains and raises us up. Wow. You ever need help? Are you ever at a point where you don't have answers? This is what the scripture is saying. The Lord will sustain you at that point as you look to him, as you depend upon him, as you trust in him. He will come through. It says in verse 14, the Lord sustains all who fall. And elsewhere that word sustains means supports or upholds. And I just like knowing that God is in my corner. Even when I mess up or mix up if you will, at certain times. I know that he's there for me. He's just a thought away, a prayer away, acknowledging him, calling upon his name. Psalms 119, verse 116. He sustains me, it says, sustain me according to thy word. And actually, in the margin, you might find according to your promise. He promises to do it. He commits his very self to sustain, to uphold, and to be there for us, that I may live. Psalms 37:17, for the arms of the wicked will be broken, but the Lord sustains the righteous. And I know if you're like me, you don't always feel righteous. But that doesn't mean that he doesn't look at you. He looks at you through the cross of Christ and the blood of Jesus, and he sees you as righteous. And so we have to start thinking like he thinks. We have to look at ourselves like he looks at us. The Lord sustains the righteous. That's you and I. Psalms 71, verse 6. By thee I have been sustained from my birth. You know, sometimes you can look back and when at the time you didn't realize God was in your corner or God was involved in your circumstances or in your life. But he absolutely was. And now looking back after having gone through years of walking with him and seeing his provision very faithfully time and again, I can see the hand of the Lord in the circumstances of my life. But sometimes life overwhelms us, disappointments come, or we misunderstand, or we don't hear the Lord clearly, whatever it might be. But the scripture says, and the scripture is true, he has sustained you from your birth. And the margin there says in my Bible, upon thee I have been supported. And so, even right now I'm thinking of a hymn, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. That's the idea of how the Lord supports you and I. In good times and in bad. You know, sometimes we think, oh, the Lord's with me when things are going great. But he's with you when they're not going so great as well. And it's good to remember that. It also says in verse 14 in our text, and raises up all who are bowed down. The Passion Translation renders that, those bent over with burdens of shame, you will lift up. And, you know, the devil wants to rub your nose in stuff at times when you mess up, when you miss the mark, when you haven't quite hit the target, so to speak. But the Lord says, no, I'm not ashamed of you. You're not ashamed of me, I'm not ashamed of you either. Isaiah 50, verse 7, for the Lord God helps me, therefore I am not discouraged. Therefore I have set my face like flint, and I know that I will not be ashamed. And so we have to declare these things by faith when our emotions are in turmoil, when things are not seeming like the scripture is true. Because our emotions can get, upheaval can come, or disappointment and such can come, and our vision can be blurred, if you will. And we have to rise up in faith at that point, remember, recall, and speak the word of God to ourself. You know, it might even seem foolish at times to speak it out loud, but I think it's appropriate at times to do just that. When you feel you've missed it or ashamed, it's good to declare Psalms 121, verse 2. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth, and he will not allow my foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. You know, it's like he's on duty 24/7. That's what that verse is saying there. Whether we feel it or not, the fact is he is. That's truth. And so even when you feel like you've missed it, he's still there. He holds your future, your plans, the promises he's made and will continue to make and fulfill on your behalf. All the purposes he has for you, no one can prevent them from being fulfilled. And it even says all the promises of God are yea and amen in the New Testament. 1 Thessalonians 5:24, faithful is he who calls you, and he also will bring it to pass. And what that's saying there is sometimes we may reach the end of our spiritual rope, so to speak. But God says, no, I'm gonna take over at that point. When you call upon me, when you trust me, when you depend upon me, allow me to shore you up, support you, uphold you, as we discussed earlier here in this portion of Scripture. He's going to do it because he's faithful, and he'll do the work and carry us when we feel like we want to give up, we want to quit. That's what faithfulness is. That's what the faithfulness of God does. It's like the footprints in the sand when there's 2 foot, you know, that famous little plaque that some of you may even have in your house. There's 2 sets of prints, and then there's only one. And it's when there's only 1 set of prints, the Lord carried you the rest of the way. And he will always do that. Thirdly, the Lord is righteous and kind. Verse 17. It says, the Lord is righteous in all his ways. You know, you have to meditate on verses like this, because sometimes people or the enemy or circumstances can speak quite loudly to you that is not true, when in fact it is true. He's righteous in all his ways. And some more Psalms, Psalms 116, verse 5, gracious is the Lord and righteous and upright are thy judgments. Also Psalms 119, 137, righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy judgments. And I recalled this, but I happened upon this scripture yesterday as well, Revelation 15:3. What you may not know was this was a song that the Israelites sang when they were going through the Red Sea. So this, just think of that when we read that from Revelation 15:3. And they sang the song of Moses, the bondservant of the Lord, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, O Lord, the Almighty. Righteous and true are your ways, thou King of the nations. And that's one of my favorite songs that we sing here, because I love to just belt it out at the top of my lungs, declaring how great my God is, how faithful my, and his ways sometimes are just, the Bible says his ways are not your ways. And that's why we have to learn his ways, and it'll get us through the tough times and the times when we need his help the most. It says also in verse 17 there, Psalms 145, the Lord is kind in all his deeds.
in the Passion Translation reads that verse, your love is wrapped in all your works.
It's like he wraps it with a bow of the blood of Jesus. Everything he does in your life. So for our part of covenant with him, we need to demonstrate in our lifestyle an attitude of gratitude. As the song that we do sing at times, give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ, his Son. And now let the weak say I'm strong, the poor say I'm rich, for what the Lord has done for us. And so we would do well to remember and reflect and meditate on the goodness of the Lord, all these qualities here that we're talking about this morning, his righteousness, his kindness, his goodness, how he sustains and raises us up. That's his impeccable track record. He's always there, and he always does more than enough. And number four would be the Lord is near, or I would like to say he's available. He's on duty 24/7 for you and I. May not always think that way or look at it that way, but it says, the Lord, in verse 18, the Lord is near to all who call upon him. It says this also in the Psalms, Psalms 34:18, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. And, you know, it's so easy to settle into a pity party at times and just go inward instead of upward. And what we need to do at times like that is just call upon the Lord. Even just speak his name will resurrect your attitude and put it in line with his promises and in the scriptures. Psalms 119, verse 151, thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. So that word near is also translated, comes close, approaches, or draws near. If you follow it through the Old Testament, it's variously translated in that way. And that should bring us comfort, and that should strengthen us in our walk with the Lord to know he's always there, he's available, he's near, he's ready to come close as we're humble ourselves and acknowledge our need of him. It says, I'm translating that same verb there, it had said the Lord is near, but then it also says the Lord is near to all who call upon him in truth. Romans 10:13, for whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. In other words, the Lord will intervene. The Lord will show up and take over where we're lacking or where we need help. So we need to believe and speak to our circumstances, even if it seems foolish at times, or when they appear contrary to God's word and his promises. Because this is what it says in Romans 10:11. For whoever, are you a whoever this morning? For whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. He will answer us, you, because he's always near. Romans 8:39, nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And that love connects you with him and with your future in him. That's how I was feeling impressed that that's what the Holy Spirit was saying to me yesterday, was that love connection that we have with him. That it connects us to his purposes, his promises, to our very future that he has planned out for you and I. You know, I'm not young anymore, but God still has things yet to fulfill in my life. I believe it with all my heart. And I'm going to see those things become a reality, and you are too. And lastly, for this morning's purposes anyway, there's many more things here in Psalms 145. The Lord keeps us. Verse 20 says, the Lord keeps all who love him. Do you love him this morning? Do you think about loving him day to day in times of distress, disappointment, heartache? We've already read, he's there, he's near to the brokenhearted or the ones who are crushed in spirit. Life can be hard at times, but it's all those things ordained by the Lord are planned to form the very image of Jesus Christ in your life. That's his goal, and he loves us that much, he can't allow us to fall short of that purpose or plan or that future. He even planned it before you were even in the womb. Come on. That is just staggering to think about such a thing. He knew you then before you were the apple of his eye then, before you were even born. I mean, wow. What a God. So the Lord keeps all those who love him. And that word keeps also is translated watches or preserves. He preserves you. He's watching over you. You know, that brings me comfort. When I realize the truth of what that scripture is saying, that is very comforting to me. Should be to you also. He keeps, he watches, he preserves. Psalms 31:23. Oh, love the Lord, you his godly ones. The Lord preserves the faithful and fully recompenses the proud doer. Psalms 91, verse 14. Because he has loved me, therefore I will deliver him. This is the Father speaking to his children. Because you have loved him, he will deliver you. He's committed himself by covenant oath to deliver you. And I will set him securely on high because he has known my name. I'm going to even continue to read verse 15 and 16 there. Speaking of you and I, he will call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With a long life, I will satisfy him and let him see my salvation. You know, salvation isn't a one-time experience. You were saved at some point, but the Lord's mission is to continue to be your salvation, to continue to rescue you, continue to be there to help you and deliver you and set you free. Psalms 37, verse 25, I think it is. I have been young and now I am old, or older, should I say. Now I am old, but I have never seen the righteous forsaken or his descendants begging bread, and I never will. That's the truth of the scripture, and that's the testimony of who God is, his very nature and character. You will never see your descendants begging bread. So In closing, we need to understand how blessed we are. Sometimes we have wants, sometimes we have desires that aren't in line with God's plan for our life. It's not that they're necessarily bad, but they may just distract us from God's plans for our future. And we have to be willing to, when God says no, we have to say, yes, Lord, you know what's best for me. And so we need to understand, you need to understand how blessed you are, how much you are loved, and the favor of God that rests upon your life. You know, when you walk into any room or situation, you walk in with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the Holy Spirit. He's right there accompanying you into every circumstance, every situation, every challenge, good and bad. He's promised to be with us and that his favor rests upon you. He holds your future. It's secure. I was even going to look up, it's almost a legalistic type thing, but there's a doctrine called eternal security. And what that means is you're saved forever. And, you know, sometimes theologians bat around these things and it's like mumbo jumbo. But it basically saying that, you know, God has committed himself to us permanently, eternally. And he holds our future, he holds your future in his hand. And Philippians 2:13, I'll close with this. God is at work, he says, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. And I would say that he knows what he's doing in your life. We have to trust him even when it doesn't make sense, or especially at times when it doesn't make sense. Because he's doing a deeper work. He's drawing us closer. He's forming us into the very image of his Son, Jesus Christ, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. So, you know, don't think, you know, you're being spanked when things aren't so pleasant at times or when the Holy Spirit brings conviction or correction. It's needed and necessary in this process of working out our salvation with fear and trembling, as the scripture says. That doesn't mean we have to be afraid and cower in fear. That's not what that scripture is saying. It's saying respect God and know that he knows what he's doing and he has your best interests at heart. So God bless you as you have a Sabbath rest tomorrow. Enjoy the snow, make some snow angels, whatever it is you want to do. Snowmobile, ski. I'm just going to stay inside until I go to the airport. God bless you that are watching online and here. You are blessed and highly favored in Jesus' name. Amen.